News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. At least 8 people have been killed in the Ukrainian capital Kyiv in Russian airstrikes. Rescuers are searching rubble for survivors. The BBC's John Donison filed this report just as part of a building was collapsing near him.
This is a residential neighborhood about 15 minutes from the center of Kyiv, where one of the ballistic missiles struck. And all the buildings here have had their windows blown out, the balconies ripped apart. And just to the other side, a whole apartment block has been completely flattened.
President Volodymyr Zelensky cut short his official visit to South Africa to return home. Fears of empty store shelves, higher prices, and increasing inflation have apparently had an effect on the president, says CBS's Jared Hill.
President Donald Trump signaled he could soon be cutting tariffs.
Over the next 2-3 weeks, we'll be setting the number.
Potentially including China, despite no talks currently scheduled between the two countries. U.S. trade with China has already plummeted.
China today denied its negotiating with the U.S., as President Trump has claimed. The FBI says online scammers stole a record $16.6 billion last year.
That was a 33% surge from 2023. Rich Bruhn lost $1.7 million to scammers who sent him a message claiming his computer had been compromised.
Who are you going to get angry at? You don't know who to get angry at.
Ben Winters at the Consumer Federation of America says AI has made life easier for cyber criminals.
So you're able to do more at scale, but also less likely for a clear mistake that would set someone off and not fall for that.
People over 60 are the most common targets. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Thousands of people are in and outside St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican waiting to view the body of the People's Pope Francis. Some mourners say they don't care how long the line is.
I don't even care how many time I wait here. It's just the opportunity to have this and how I admired Francisco in his life.
The Basilica will stay open until midnight tonight. The viewing ends tomorrow night. The funeral scheduled for Saturday morning. A fast-moving wildfire that's engulfed parts of the Pine Barrens in southern New Jersey is expected to grow before rain arrives later this week. It's now about 50% contained. Lacey Township Mayor Peter Curatolo.
Not one single-family home was damaged. Not one person was injured. There has not been one loss of life.
The 5,000 residents who fled their homes yesterday have been allowed to return. About 250,000 people are expected to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin, population 107,000, tonight for the NFL draft. The Tennessee Titans have the first pick in the first round. They're expected to select Miami quarterback Cam Ward. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Office is leading the investigation after a Racine police officer shot a suspect during an armed home invasion Tuesday night. The Kenosha-Racine Area Investigative Team, also known as CRATE, is a group of investigators from multiple local agencies in both counties. That team was activated in an effort to get as much evidence as possible in an objective way. The suspect was taken into custody with a minor injury. A Kenosha student who concealed a gun in a sensitive area during a December school incident will serve 1 year in juvenile detention. Judge Kirkman ordered the 16-year-old to detention after the student admitted to bringing a loaded gun to Indian Trail and making threats via Snapchat. The countdown clock has almost run out. The NFL draft starts today. Lisa Hale has the latest from Titletown.
Hundreds upon thousands of people are expected to be part of the NFL draft activities in the Lambeau Field area. Green Bay Police, Brown County Sheriff's deputies, and other public safety officials have been running scenarios to be prepared. One national law enforcement agency has been there and done that and will be lending its expertise to the mix. The FBI helps with public safety during the draft every year, like they did for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee last year. The FBI has been monitoring for potential online and in-person threats. Special Agent in Charge Michael Hensel says there are no known threats to the draft this year.
It's been 5 years since they collected, but payment is coming due. There's been a big change with student loan repayments, and you can read all about it today online. Go deeper about the loan repayment timeline and how it impacts people around here at RacineCountyI.com. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
It's draft day in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the NFL draft gets underway tonight. Many experts predicting the Packers could use the 23rd pick on Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden, who was spotted shaking hands with Packers GM Brian Gutekunst on the Rich Eisen Show. Has he been here before?
It's definitely not my first time meeting with him. I had a meeting with him 2 weeks ago. Got around the coaching staff, you know, the organization. Feel like home to me.
Did you visit here? So this is not your first trip to Green Bay?
Yeah, it's not my first trip.
Who else have you personally visited?
Met with Houston, Pittsburgh, Broncos, Detroit.
Have you personally visited with the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, sir.
Oh! What was that about?
It was cool, man.
Baseball, the Brewers scoring 2 runs in the 9th, but it wasn't enough. They lost to the Giants 4-2 last night in San Francisco.
It's all part of getting started in a new year. We're all trying to find ourselves, find our own identity.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 53 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, some showers after midnight. Our low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with some rain and thunderstorms. And the rain could be heavy with a quarter to a half inch or more. 56 the high. On Saturday, sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Upper 50s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
I'm so mad at my mother. I don't know. She's 102 years old. She called me up the other day. She wanted to borrow $10 for some food. I said, hey, I work for a living. So I loan her the money. I have one of my secretaries take it down. And yesterday she calls me up and says she can't pay me back for a while. I said, what is this book, huh? So I worked it out with her. I'm having her work on my transmission. And if she can't fix that, I'm having her move my barbells up to the attic.
All right, it's time to go back in time. Carol Gianforte, Jim Messier here, and we're talking about Elmwood Plaza. And he said, didn't you talk about that last time? Yeah, we did, but here's part two. So where did we leave off? There's
we
a question
have to
you
think
weren't
about
ready
for. Yeah. No, it was a month ago.
Yes,
my goodness.
That's right.
Okay, so Elmwood Plaza, and why don't you give a little background for people that don't know what Elmwood Plaza is. Not everybody, you know, travels around Racine. Some people live in just on Amazon and all the, you know, they don't go out and shop. I know people who do that. They don't go to any stores.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything online, which is, yeah, I guess, okay, but don't you want to touch the merchandise first?
There are fewer stores to go to, though, is the trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of empty stores.
Yeah. So why don't you tell a little history of the Elmwood Plaza first? When did, you know, can you give us a little history? I know it's out of the notes there.
Okay.
Go
well,
ahead,
first of all, thanks. Thank you, Don, for having us again. We always enjoy sharing our memories of growing up in Racine during the 50s and 60s. The plaza has quite a history. It opened up in 1956. And, of course, the heyday years were the balance of the 50s and 60s and 70s until 1981 when the mall opened up. Their claim to fame was, they always would say, plenty of free parking, which was, I think, a ding to the downtown area and uptown and whatever, because you had to have money to pay for parking meters. But they offered free parking. At one time, they had 30 stores, and it was a very vibrant center. You could buy almost anything there, including a couple department stores. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. But first, a little bit about us.
Well, I was saying to Jim, Don introduces us, Jim and Carol. Well, now we've been doing this about a year and a half each month. And Don, I want you to know we are not college professors. We are not deep into research. And I want our listeners to know this is a hobby. And Jim and I grew up separately, North Side, South Side, baby boomers, though, and born in Racine. And so out of this, at a Preservation Racine meeting 10, 15 years ago, we realized, among other people, like if you look at Retro Racine, there's so many people that do love the nostalgia of the 50s and 60s. But anyway, Jim and I got together to make some presentations and do some writing. And what we want to emphasize is this is our hobby. And we're trying to stick to the truth. But a lot of it is our own anecdotes or what friends tell us. But we're trying our best to be truthful, but we are not college professors.
We talk about a disclaimer.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Right, and if we don't know something, we just make it up. Yeah. Right, Carol?
At least you're honest about it. There are people that make stuff up and claim it's the truth.
No one has written in that I know of. But anyway, that was on my mind. So now, Jim, tell us a little bit more about the promotions. Alma Plaza did so much to be known. So tell us about, we use the word promotions. They were fast and furious.
Right, yeah. Before I get into that, let's talk a little bit about the lower level. A lot of people don't realize that there was a lower level.
Really?
At the plaza. Right?
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Now, you could walk from Goldblatt's to the bowling lanes if you wanted to. If it was raining out or whatever, you would just walk in the lower level.
It was like a secret tunnel?
Well, it wasn't a tunnel. It was just a wide open area. And there were a few stores down there. There was a jewelry store there, a shoe repair shop, a record store at one time. A lot of service type businesses, I think, were there. And I think that was meant for future development, but that really never materialized. And it could have been scary if you're walking alone. It's this vast, empty area. You could also walk from Penny's to Goldblatt's, two of your major department stores there. But yes, the promotions, they had a lot of very interesting promotions. Don, you might know this person here. A radio disc jockey was there at one time, Dick Biondi from WLS.
Oh, yeah, he's a big guy. It was a big, big DJ in Chicago. Yeah,
yeah, I think he passed away already, but he was very, very popular. Also, many of the old Milwaukee Braves players were there signing autographs. And I had autographs from Warren Spahn and Eddie Matthews and a few others.
You still have them?
No, unfortunately, I don't know where they are. Maybe my mom gave them away or whatever. Yeah, but I could have had, maybe Lou Burdette or Del Crandall, Johnny Logan, maybe even Henry Aaron. I don't know. But, I wish I had them now.
So would they come at different times and you would go over to the plaza then?
Yeah, you had to wait in line, and then you waited. It seemed like forever, but it was well worth the wait.
So over a few years, you got all those autographs.
Yeah, Yeah.
Those mothers cleaning house. Gosh.
Little Jimmy is back at Elmwood Plaza. Little Jimmy is here for his autograph. He's a real pest. He's been back here every again. Time. We can't get rid of him.
That's how it was.
Well, another promotion, downtown, I think, too. But a big event in summer, sidewalk sale days.
Oh, yeah. I remember sidewalk sales, yeah.
And Jim and I have just discovered, Jim has a whole collection of newspapers, Racine Journal Times, especially from the 60s. And the ads that Elmwood Plaza put in, full-page ads. And what is so surprising is you might say, well, was the newspaper thicker at the time? It was not only thicker. The pages were huge. Nothing like the size today. So when they had sidewalk sale ads, I mean, that covered a whole bunch of print. Mm-hmm. So it would be a hot summer day, and the moms would take the kids in the station wagon. Mm-hmm. And probably go for ice cream, velvet freeze, or something
afterwards. Absolutely. Right.
And,
We had a shopping center near me, much like Elmwood Plaza. So I don't think it was maybe a tad bigger, if anything, but it was much like Elmwood Plaza. It was called the Bar Harbor Shopping Center. And they had a they put out their own little newspaper, and they put it in the mail every month, the Bar Harbor Shopper. And all the stores had ads in it. And it's funny, I remember this. They had their 6666 sale. Oh, I still remember the ad. It was a little Bar Harbor Shopper.
Pretty good ad.
It was June 6th, 1966, and it was a sidewalk sale.
Yeah.
And it was the 6666 sale at the bar. How do I, with all the stuff crammed into my head from 1966.
Amazing what comes out of your memory bank.
It's still jammed in there, and I remember the front cover of that Bar Harbor Shopper newspaper. And every June 6th, I think about it. I say to my brother, 6666 sale.
Is that ever neat? And your mother would go, too.
Everybody would go. Everyone. It was the 6666 sale.
Wow. Can't miss it. Can't miss it.
Along with the sidewalk days that Carol talked about, the kids could enjoy stagecoach rides, complete with horses. They would take you around the plaza. And the kids, of course, would love it. But I think their most famous promotion was an actual helicopter would actually drop ping pong balls for some special promotion. And people would scatter and get those balls because some of them were good for cash and for gifts at stores at the plaza. And everybody was just waiting underneath that helicopter for a chance of getting those ping pong balls.
Did you get some?
I did, but there were nothing.
You know. Is that like the WKRP in Cincinnati promotion where they drop turkeys from planes? Remember that?
No, I don't.
And the general manager, people were getting these turkeys for Thanksgiving, hitting them on the head. They were running for their lives. And the general manager, Art Carlson, said, "As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly."
Well, we were much more safety conscious. Ping balls.
Yeah, I
hitting
think so.
You survived.
Right, yeah.
Well, Santa Claus, he was various places downtown. Zahn's, for one, but he was also at Elmwood Plaza in a trailer every year in front of Goldblatt's and complete with Christmas music being piped outside. Christmas at Goldblatt's with Santa Claus, a big time.
That's
what
right.
else, Jim?
Well, you know, there was other promotions there, too. They had carnival rides every spring. A carnival would come to town. And it would set up on the west end, about where the Walgreens is located right now. It was just something to do for the teens. Everybody went there, my age. A lot of games and rides and things like that. Another thing they had there, and this involves my wife, too, they had a Miss Elmwood Plaza contest. Actually, it was a Sweet 16 contest, and that was held in 1972 for the Plaza's 16th anniversary. And my wife, Lynn, was representing Plaza Shoes.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, and most stores sponsored a 16-year-old, sponsored a 16-year-old girl in the contest. And this was actually a three-day event. And the winner was determined by the number of votes or ballots. So if you had a lot of friends or relatives, you'd stuff the ballot box and maybe, you know, she would win. And the drawing was held on that Saturday, the last of the three days for the event. And my wife actually finished in second place or the first runner-up.
Yeah.
And she received a gift certificate for her sponsor store, which was Plaza Shoes, as well as another gift certificate to any store at the plaza. This was really something to brag about back then. The winner was actually going to be on the 4th of July float. So that was something to really hope that you would win. But that was really an eventful day.
So you married a beauty queen.
I did, a beauty queen.
Yes. Look at
you.
Right. She is.
Yeah.
And is that when you decided to marry her right then and there?
Well, I think she was 16, but yeah, when I saw her pictures, that did it.
I also wanted to ask you about the carnival rides. Did you have a favorite?
I think the Tilt-A-Whirl.
The Tilt-A-Whirl.
Something very easy.
That's the only one that I ever got sick on, the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The spinning. It was
not for me either.
Right.
That one bothered me. Don't you love carnival rides? You know, a few hours before you're on them, they were laying in pieces on a truck.
Yeah, right, right.
And now some guy who just got paroled from prison is putting them together.
I was going to say, do you remember some of the operators?
Yeah. Do you want to trust this guy here?
Yeah.
I don't like the fact it was in pieces on a truck an hour before. Now here I am risking my life on it.
Yeah, those promotions, risky.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go through now today a number of these stores. There were 17 stores that opened Alma Plaza. And we found out from your newspapers in the 60s, there were 30 stores, probably in the heyday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, women, girls, shopping, mothers, daughters, very, very big duo. Now, the stores that began, part of the 17, the famous name of Figus Brothers, they were downtown. And here they came to Alma Plaza. But there was Jane Lee and three sisters. But then in time, Lepp and Company, very high end, came in from Kenosha. New Mode Hosiery, because you did not have bare legs. Everyone wore stockings.
My favorite store.
Oh, that's dangerous. And the Ritz Hat Shop, because we dressed up. Plus, we had the Goldblatts and Pennies for women's clothing. So we all know how we did dress up. Now, in high school in the 60s, we wore skirts, knee socks. We did not wear warm-up pants or anything like that. Our teachers, suits, high heels. At church, oh my goodness. I mean, if you see some black and white photos of the congregation sitting there, women all in hats, men with suits. And even at home, our mothers wore house dresses and maybe even aprons to cover the house dresses. So we were shopping for very dressy clothes, beautiful clothes, really. Some of our teen fashions in the 60s, what were we looking for? Mohair sweaters, pleated skirts, knee socks, the Liz Taylor blouse, which was filled with ruffles. Then, though, you know, that pleated skirt, even I was part of this, we began to want shorter skirts. And so it was common for us gals to leave home in the morning, and outside the door, we would do what we called, we would roll up the skirt. We doubled over the waistband. And then when we got home, we undoubled the waistband. But the mini skirt came in, and then capris and culottes. Another one is almost all of us wore, can you imagine, headscarves. Walking to Washington Junior High, if my coat didn't have a hood, we were wearing headscarves. And Pat Nielsen, my friend, tells me about, reminding me about New Mode Hosiery. There would be hundreds of very thin boxes. And the clerk would take one out very carefully, open up the tissue paper, and then Pat reminds me, very delicately, this clerk would put her hand into the stocking so that over her fist, you could see how sheer it was or the shade that it was. It took a lot to be a clerk at New Mode Hosiery. And the prices, we had fun looking at these old newspapers. Now the word acrylic, that was a new fabric. There were acrylic sweaters in the Journal Times, $4. A washable pleated skirt, $5. A mohair sweater, $7. A headscarf, just two of them for $1. So, but a lot of these prices, we gals, especially as teenagers, we were babysitting to actually afford these items. The interesting thing, though, too, about clerks, wherever we were, Figus, Three Sisters, everything we tried on looked just great on us.
Until you got home.
Yeah. And true. You paid good money for that item. What color was that? No, we looked great in the store.
Yeah, I used to get a suit or something, mm-hmm. looked great in that 360 mirror they have there.
Yeah.
I get home and say, is this the same one I picked out?
Yeah, that's true.
No, my home mirror didn't look the same.
Yeah, they were slimming mirrors, weren't they?
Well, on Seinfeld, Elaine gets home and the dress looks terrible on her. It's because you have skinny mirrors here. I know you do.
Yes, skinny mirrors. That brings back that memory. We were suspicious.
The skinny mirrors. Hold on a second. We're talking to Jim Basir, Carol G, and 14. Next time I'll say it the other way around, Carol and Jim. We're talking about the history of Elmwood Plaza Part 2 today. More coming up. But first, got the rest of the story from Paul Harvey, brought to you daily by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha on 75th Street and 30th Avenue. Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, homemade candles, and premium chocolates.
This Mother's Day, say I love you with fresh flowers from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. A stunning bouquet, a custom arrangement, or a thoughtful gift paired with DeBrand Premium Chocolates or Carrie's Candles with signature scents like Mom's Home, Wisconsin Northwoods, or Ocean Breeze. Shop early for the best selection because Mom deserves the very best. Order online at sunnysidefloristofkenosha.com or enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue, open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
The rest of the story. You only thought you knew Princess Caroline. Maybe not. Not even tabloid headlines could denigrate spoiled royalty to the extent that she was to disgrace herself. As a teenager, she kept royal chaperones constantly occupied, for she was likely to engage in suggestive conversation with young men under any circumstances, private or public. A cheap doll, one writer called her. Her wedding was a joke. The groom had to get falling down drunk to endure it. And it in no way interfered with Caroline's pursuit of her own personal pleasure. Every once in a while, she would travel incognito, presumably to conceal indecent behavior. And yet eventually, she seems to have decided that the world needed shocking. She threw one wild party after another. She delighted in pretending to be pregnant, and nobody could be certain if or when it was an act. She consorted with a legion of gigolos, the most notorious among them, one Bartolomeo Pergami. Her widely publicized travels abroad created a succession of scandals. In Rome, she flirted with the Pope. She flirted with the Pope. In Baden, she wore half a pumpkin on her head, explaining to the curious that it was cool. She rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And attending major society affairs in Geneva, in Athens, in Naples, Princess Caroline went topless. And despite perhaps partly because of all you've just heard and more, she was a popular heroine, utterly, unabashedly beloved by the people of her country 200 years ago. In the waning 18th century, England's Prince of Wales was the victim of an ill-arranged marriage to the daughter of the Duke and Duchess of Brunswick, a rebellious, mercurial creature named Caroline. A great deal of the prince's time was thereafter devoted to seeking a divorce. And although not for that purpose, the princess provided more than sufficient grounds for divorce. And when the prince at last succeeded to the throne, becoming George IV, that's right, King George IV, Caroline's misconduct became an issue before the Parliament. Never before nor since was there such a thorough and public disclosure of British royal mischief, and that's the nicest word I know for some of the things she did. And still, after a long procession of international witnesses and an avalanche of condemning testimony, Parliament refused to act in the matter. But fate would do so on their behalf. Not even a month after the coronation of her husband, King George, the coronation at which she was to have received her own queen's crown, the coronation to which she was denied access by the king himself. Less than 1 month afterward, nobody is sure from what she fell ill and died. But certainly not before Caroline had secured for herself a most unique place in Britain's history. Not only was she the only Queen of England upon whose sex life Parliament ever voted, but more than that, Caroline was the only monarch ever prohibited from attending her own coronation. Now you know the rest of the story.
And we've got another rest of the story with Paul Harvey, 1205. Dan Marcus has it. Now, today, I don't think it's going to... Well, yeah, it'll be there today because the ball game's at 2:10. So, yeah, we'll have it today. 1205, the rest of the story, Paul Harvey with Dan Marcus, right here on WRJN. Right now, it's 7:30 on the Noggin. Let's check news, see what's going on. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A former Whitewater student who threatened to use chlorine gas against police attempting to take his guns has pleaded guilty to possessing items for making chemical weapons. A statement from federal prosecutors says James Morgan posted violent anti-government rhetoric online and built homemade weapons, including pipe bombs and acid spraying devices. He's already serving a 2-year sentence for explosives, but now Morgan now faces life in prison when sentenced on the new guilty plea August 1st. The FBI found his stash of weapons during a 2023 raid after years of monitoring his social media activity. Prosecutors say his posting history included racist threats and talk about building militias. The Kenosha Racine Area Investigative Team was activated Tuesday after that shooting involving a Racine officer. Police responded to an armed home invasion where gunfire was exchanged. The investigative team, known as CRATE, is a joint team of investigators from Kenosha and Racine counties. They gathered the evidence into the officer-involved shooting, with the Kenosha County Sheriff's Office taking the lead. The Racine Police Department is handling the criminal case regarding the armed invasion. The suspect was taken into custody with minor injuries. Kenosha's Plan Commission will hear about another new U-Line project tonight. The company's latest warehouse project would add over 1.2 million square feet to the company's growing local footprint. U-Line employs over 3,800 people at their Kenosha County operations. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Breeding animals the correct way is very important within the agriculture industry. But there have been some issues that are arising. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and I had the chance to talk with Temple Grandin, a staple in U.S. agriculture, to hear about some of these issues that she is seeing within the breeding of animals.
The problem we've got now is we're breeding cattle with things wrong with them. Crossed toes, crooked toes, congestive heart failure problems. There's some cattle today, they're crippled heart patient. And it's just over genetic selection for very rapid growth, big ribeyes. And there are certain genetic lines of cattle that have got a problem with this. And so one of my big concerns is breeding animals that have things wrong with them, like breeding bulldogs that can't breathe. I have a problem with that. Breeding racehorses so much for speed that the bones just break. Animals need to be functional, whether it's a pet or a food animal.
Grandin says that another issue that she is seeing is the lack of math skills in the next generation. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those markets right after this.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those markets. Cash corn is moving a penny higher at 4.73, with new crop corn up a quarter of a penny at 4.54¾. Cash soybeans are seeing a rise, up 6¼ cents at 10.46½, with new crop soybeans up 3½ at 10.31. May wheat contracts are down 3 cents at 5.25¼, with July wheat down 3½ cents at 5.40. Class 3 milk contracts are moving lower as May contracts are down 10 cents at 18.55 a hundredweight and June contracts down 9 cents at 17.36 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 53 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, some showers after midnight. Our low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with some rain and thunderstorms. And the rain could be heavy with a quarter to a half inch or more. 56 the high on Saturday. Sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Upper 50s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
It's interesting to see how people process a breakup, though. You know, some people, their whole life shuts down when a relationship ends. If you've ever had a friend like this, you've probably had the chance to be the person who tries to, like, rehabilitate them and, like, get them back out there again, which basically just is you lying to them a lot. Honesty is not the thing they need, you know? It's just like, I don't understand. How did this happen, Drew? Yeah, obviously she thought she could do better. I think if that weren't the case, she would still be with you. But based on how she's not with you, it would lead me to believe that she thought she could do better than you. Does that make sense? I'm smart, I'm handsome, I'm charismatic. Well, yeah, but you're not maxed out in any of those things. There's still room for improvement, all right? I wish I'd been more confident around her and been more fun. Yeah, you totally should have. Why didn't you think of that earlier? That might have worked.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
Everybody's hurrying to Goldblatt's for good old-fashioned savings. It's Goldblatt's fabulous one-day-only sale tomorrow, Thursday. Goldblatt's great low prices on brand-new items, values in every department, with extra late shopping hours to help you save even more. Look at these great values.
Save $7 an Oster 10-speed blender, only $19.99. Colgate toothpaste with an MFP, only 89 cents each. Hurry to Goldblatt's one-day-only sale tomorrow and bring a friend.
Guy's reading it like a newscast. Goldblatt's of the blenders are $7. The utensils are extra. And let's have the weather now in sports. Carol Gianforte is here. I gave you first billing now. Jim Messier is here, too. We're talking about Elwood Plaza in Racine on Durand Avenue. It's still there, still thriving. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the history of it. And this is part two. Last month, we did part one. Part two right now. And we left off with men's clothing, right?
We left off with men's clothing because I'm not going to cover that, Jim.
No,
That's your area to cover, so go for it.
And I wasn't about to cover women's clothing either. Guys were a lot more, I think, easier to shop for whatever because all we wanted was just, maybe shirts and pants and maybe an occasional suit once in a while. But we did have a number of men's stores at the plaza. Herbert's Men's Shop was there. Richmond Brothers was very popular. Bell's Men's Shop, the Leader's Store, of course, and also Penny's and Goldblatt's. Now, some of the styles for the guys back then, of course, we all wore suits for special events. We had skinny ties, peg pants. Who remembers peg pants?
I never heard of it.
You never heard of it?
No.
Where you could barely get them on because they were just so tight.
We had fashion over here, Don.
Yeah, right.
We had fashion.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You were on the East Coast. You know what? What do you guys know about that?
That's right.
Right.
Brooks Brothers, nothing.
But peg pants, I got a lot of demerits at St. Catherine's High School for wearing peg pants.
You couldn't wear that in high school?
Well, you could wear pants, obviously, but you couldn't wear them that tight where you around your legs were, that was considered obscene, I guess. I don't know.
You know where I got in trouble? In middle school, wide belts were in the 1967, 68,
yeah.
The wide
yeah.
belts.
Yeah.
And the history teacher, he was a nice guy. I happened to love his class, but he looked at my belt. He said, "Get out of the principal. You can't wear that belt here." Oh, and I said, it was a stylist. That was the fashion. He said, those are garrison belts. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
He said, can't wear it. So I went down to the principal, and he had to call my mother in to bring a new belt, which didn't fit the pants because the loops were big.
Sure.
And it looked weird.
Yeah.
And eventually they caved in and let you... schools are the first to say no, no, no until it becomes so fast. Well, they got to say yes after a while. So I put the belt back on. But he sent me down to the principal's office.
Yeah.
It was the fashion. I should have got you as my attorney.
anybody remember the Madras shirts?
Oh, Madras shirts. I used to love them.
Yeah.
I still have them.
Back in the mid-60s.
Now, could you wash those?
You could wash them, and they would change color, if I remember.
They would bleed together or something.
Right. Yeah. Some guys wore some new fashion thing called Nehru jackets.
My brother wore Nehru jackets.
No kidding.
They look like...
Nehru.
They look like Nehru, from India. And they were almost like you were almost like a priest wearing the jacket.
Yeah,
but they were different colors.
Yep.
My brother had one. If you look at the old rock groups like the... Strawberry Alarm Clock, Incense Peppermint, they were wearing Nehru jackets in the group.
Ah. Now, were they wearing all different pastel colors?
They weren't pastel, but they were different colors. They were like psychedelic.
Yeah.
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So those were allowed at high school for you? Or is this bad?
No, of course not.
No.
You wouldn't do that.
Demar demerits, no. Okay.
I'd be kicked out.
Little Jimmy was expelled for wearing one.
Button-down collars, I remember that.
Yeah.
But like Carol said, all the clerks would always say, oh, that looks great on you, sir. Everything looked good on you. And the salesmen were very attentive. They were all dressed in their suits, of course. And everyone I remember had a tape measure draped around their neck. Remember that?
Yeah.
But now we have to say that you were one of those salesmen.
I was for a while at Penny's downtown.
Yes, you were. And my husband was at Penny's Elmwood Plaza for one Christmas season.
Yeah.
But I never asked him if he was coached to tell everybody how good they look.
Oh, yeah. We had to do that.
Did they tell you that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Always compliment the person, you know, how great he looks.
Well, that's a nice way to say it, compliment the person.
Right, And you could also buy children's clothes there. Mm-hmm. There was a store for that, Carol, right?
Tots and Teens, that was very special, I would say. This was a perfect store for holiday dresses. Every day, too, but it was definitely a notch above, even though we had Penny's and Goldblatt's, too. Again, like we've just had Easter. Well, Tots and Teens would be a place for a little girl with white patent leather shoes, a little purse, a hat with maybe daisies on it. We called white socks with the shoes anklets. Tots and Teens, yes, was a cut above. But then also, we have to say, that is where I got a poodle skirt. Now, the poodle skirt is worth some discussion here. I actually did some research on the poodle skirt, would you believe? And there is a person credited with creating the poodle skirt. I would have never guessed it. Have you ever heard of Julie Lynn Charlotte?
No.
1947, the first poodle skirt made out of felt. She had dachshunds on hers. So can you imagine? I don't know if she's had royalties or whatever you'd call it ever since. She'd be a millionaire billionaire by now.
Her name wasn't her last name wasn't Poodle by any chance?
Yeah.
No?
Oh. Okay. So anyway, Tots and Teens got my poodle skirt there.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, how about shoes? We were always looking for shoes.
Oh, yeah. We had a number of stores that sold shoes at the Plaza. Kinney Shoes, I think, was very popular. Plaza Shoes, Richmond Shoe Store. Both had, of course, men's, women's, and children's shoes. For guys, I remember some of the guys wore the penny loafers, Cordovans, wingtips, or Oxfords, if you prefer. We usually wore them for proms or special events. But sneakers, I remember that was very popular. Mm. Who remembers PF Flyers? Remember
that? PF
Flyers?
Yeah. Keds.
Keds, that was another one. Keds, right. And, of course, Pat Boone always wore his white bucks. That's right. So a lot of teenagers would want to imitate him, and of course they would buy white bucks. Same thing when the song Blue Suede Shoes came out by Elvis, or before that, Carl Perkins. Everybody wanted blue suede shoes. But these shoe salesmen, I remember, they were what we consider career salesmen. They were all dressed up in their suits. And, of course, they would measure your feet by using that Braddock device. It would measure the length and the width. It was that metal thing you put your foot in. And it would, by moving different things, they could see your...
They don't have them anymore?
I don't know.
I think they... They do.
You don't really have many shoe salesmen anymore. You don't. Pick out the box on the shelf and you pay
for it. It's amazing we can do it ourselves. Yeah. Can you imagine that?
That's right. X-ray machines. We had to put our foot in this X-ray machine, and I don't know how we're still survived.
There's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
They're totally banned today, of course, but we're still here, Carol. You know, wonder we're still alive. So what were some of the women's styles?
Oh, shoes are always such a fashion statement. I had white bucks. I'm surprised that I actually did. I didn't have any blue suede shoes, but patent leathers with the Mary Jane strap, saddle shoes forever. Now, we have a cute story about penny loafers. Jim and I met Marcia Connett, and she was talking to us in one of our programs about the outdoor, how she was at the outdoor with a date that she did not want to stay with. So she was wearing penny loafers, but I was reading about penny loafers again in my research. It started with the penny because it cost a penny to make a phone call. Now, Marcia's story, she tells, she went to the snack bar. She got out her dime from her penny loafers, called her father to come and get her. So she was saved by
her. How bad was this date?
She was saved by her penny slash
dime. What was it, Jack the Ripper in the car? We're going to take a quick break. Jim and Carol are here. We're talking about Elmwood Plaza Part 2. A little bit of history for you today. It's 7:46, local news, timeless hits at WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Step back in time and experience Racine like never before. Through the Eyes of Wilford Glenn Marshall by Jared Karwowski is a stunning hardcover coffee table book that captures Marshall's incredible life while showcasing Racine's rich history. With 210 pages of rare, never-before-seen photographs, this visual masterpiece is a must-have. Discover Racine's timeless legacy through the eyes of Wilford Glenn Marshall. Get your copy today online or at the Artist Gallery downtown on 4th and Main.
Master Vape and Cigar Shop in Racine is under new ownership and proud to welcome customers with 20% off on dozens of select items throughout their incredible store. All gummies, disposables, and carts, 20% off. 15 different brands of your favorite vape disposables, 20% off. Plus, Master Vape has a huge selection of CBD products, pipes, tobacco, incense, and papers, as well as a premium walk-in cigar humidor that you'll have to see to believe. At the all-new Master Vape and Cigar Shop on Regency West Drive near the Best Buy in Racine.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
WRJN.
Talking to Jim and Carol, and we're talking about Elmwood Plaza Part 2, and I just found inside information that we might have a Part 3. It's just too much.
Because there were 30 stores, Don. What can you say?
All right, let's
this
get
was
to...
very, very exciting to have a place like this.
We left off at your blue suede shoes
and your
saddle shoes and the
That's
white
right.
box.
That's right. So now, believe it or not, I was, again, my research, Birkenstocks. They came in 1964. I never had a pair at that time at all, but that began. But what was the event in 1966 about footwear? Nancy Sinatra.
These boots are made for walking, and they're going to walk all over you.
Yep. And so that went to boots. Especially, we call them go-go boots. Mm-hmm. Brand new fashion.
Can I tell you my go-go boot story real quick?
Mm-hmm.
My brother used to play with a lot of groups of the 1960s. Shangri-La's, Leader of the Pack.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big hit. And my mother was there in the dressing room. And one of the twins, there was a young woman, a blonde woman, who was the lead up front. And the two twins were in the back. And one of them, their white go-go boots were hurting them because it was too small. And my mother said, well, I'm wearing go-go boots. You want to try them? She said, okay, I'll give you back right after the show. I'll give them back to you. And I gave them back. So the go-go boots my mother had were from the Shangri-La's.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh. And are they on your mantle right now?
No, they were thrown out when she moved.
Oh, jeez.
She threw that out along with my high school diploma and my Beetle ticket stubs.
Those mothers. Cleaning house.
She said, if it was important to you, you would have taken them with you.
Yeah,
I remember that phrase. Yeah. Well, along with our clothes and our shoes, we had our hair and women had our makeup. To be shopping for at Elmwood, and especially as teens, but moms too. Now, we had at the Elmwood Plaza one particular hair salon called Miss Marge's, but we had Goldblatt's and Penny's, and we talked about last week at Goldblatt's, it was the hair salon that started the big, big fire.
Yep.
And that was 1981, wasn't it? The big fire from the hair salon? Something like that?
Is that where it started, the hair salon?
Yes.
Yes, right.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Because I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
Those
That's right.
curling irons. Was it a curling iron?
Yeah, it was.
No, do we have curling irons then?
I don't know.
I didn't do that research.
Yeah.
When was the curling iron started to be used? I do
You're not asking me, are you?
I do not know.
I have curly hair, but I don't do it with a curling iron.
Oh. But anyway... permanence. Oh my goodness. We had permanence. I always had very much trouble with permanence at hair salons because for some reason, I'm sure people want to know this, my hair is very coarse and it took that solution like you wouldn't believe it. And I would come out of there very curly when pretty soon we all wanted straight hair, but I had a lot of trouble.
Don't tell me about curly hair, okay?
I wondered if you would chime in there. But we also had so much teasing of hair. We had these very elaborate hairstyles. Curlers were needed and the hairspray and the teasing. So we had these hairstyles that had to be worked on so diligently. We had the French twist. The flip was maybe the most important. If you looked at my high school yearbook, I bet almost half of the gals, they had the flip. That took a lot of rollers and a lot of hairspray. We had the beehive, we had the bubble, but we also wanted to do things on our own, and that was the Red Cross drugstore at Elmwood. There you could buy your own Tony and Lilt Home Permanents.
Tony Home Permanents. Mm-hmm. I remember the ads for those.
Yeah. Yeah. So I looked them up. And all the comments seemed to point to, and I didn't remember this, but I guess it was made out of pure ammonia because they talked about the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't even wearing masks in those days. Can you imagine in the hair salons and even with the Tony?
I remember them because when I used to go there with my mother... You know, when there's a little tyke, she used to drag me to the beauty parlor with her.
Yeah.
And the stench in that place from the permanents. Yeah.
That's right.
Can you imagine the fumes and everything that we endured? Oh, boy. Well, and I think you said your sister was all in mom. They were doing Lilt Home Perms.
Oh, yeah. All the time. I remember that smell. Horrible stuff.
Yeah, see? Okay. Yeah.
That stench.
All this in the name of beauty.
Yeah,
attempted beauty.
The bottom of the barrel stench.
Oh. Now, how about you guys, Jim?
Well, the plaza did have a barbershop on the west end. they had actually five barbers there, and these were actually career barbers. I remember paying a dollar and a quarter back then, back in the 60s, buck and a quarter for a haircut. And us kids, we never gave any tips or anything, so it was simply a dollar and a quarter. Now, some of the styles back then, I think everybody had either a crew cut or a butch. I don't know what the difference is between a crew cut and a butch.
Okay, the butch used that stick, the wax stick.
Oh, okay.
To put your hair up at the front.
Yeah, at the front.
Yeah, the crew cut was just a short haircut.
Okay, like an army cut or something, yeah. I suppose. Huh?
I'm glad you know your hairstyle's done.
My brother had the butch. I didn't. No? Stick that made the hair go up in the front.
Yeah, yeah. The regular haircuts, of course. And some guys even had what they called a greaser look. You just load your hair with all kind of tonics and everything. But what happened back in 1964 or 65?
The Beatles!
The Beatles! They changed everything. Now longer.
My grandmother saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show the first time they were on. She was screaming, "Those animals, look at their hair, those animals, they're filthy." Look, and their hair was pretty short.
It was short back then. Yeah.
Those animals,
look at their filthy. Yeah. And she did it with a Polish accent.
That changed everything.
The shock of it all.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, anyway, skincare too. Now, Elmwood Plaza had its very own skincare shop called Vivian Woodard. She probably came from New York City, the chain. And then we learned this phrase in the 50s and 60s, skincare. And skincare probably done properly had you bankrupt, because there were probably 5 to 6 different parts to your skincare that everybody needed. But if you didn't go to Vivian Woodard at the Plaza, you went to the Red Cross drugstore. And there you could get Max Factor, Hazel Bishop.
Oh, yeah, Hazel Bishop. Yeah.
Hazel Bishop. I did a little research on Hazel Bishop. She was famous for her red lipstick and that it was no smear and long-lasting. Then there were perfumes, especially in the holidays. We talked a couple times back here with Don. There was a real Prince Machiavelli.
Mm-hmm.
Windsong. There was a real, real man, Prince. We did, at the Red Cross, Arpège. Cody, Evening in Paris. But the guys, Jim, what were you getting at the Red Cross?
Well, at the Red Cross, we would get primarily hair tonics and aftershave lotion. I remember some of the hair tonics were Vitalis.
Yeah, Vitalis.
Yeah, Vaseline, Brill Cream.
A little dab will do
you. There you go. Okay. Wild Root was another one. And some of the aftershave lotions I remember were Aqua Velvet. Brute was very popular.
Brute, yeah.
Yeah. High Karate.
Remember the TV commercial with that guy? Remember the High Karate TV commercial?
Oh, yes.
Where the guy would go like this. He'd go, ooh, look at that. High Karate. Yeah. Once he put the High Karate on, he was able to do karate. It was a funny commercial. It would have to be a comedy commercial.
Yeah. Jade East was another one.
Jade East.
English Leather.
I remember English Leather.
And I still have some I bought in 1963.
Oh, good. That ought to smell good.
I put it on this morning. Can you smell anything, Carol?
Good thing you got that odor eater thing up there.
That ought to corrode the flesh off your face.
It still works, apparently.
Now, Jim, I just am thinking, you did not mention Old Spice. And anytime I hear of Old Spice, I had an uncle. When he would come for uncle and aunt, he had so much Old Spice on that it would really just gag anyone
sickening
at the table.
Yeah.
Oh, I still think Old Spice with my...
How about when you get somebody in your car, you pick them up, and they are wearing so much cologne that your car... Because it's a small space.
Yeah, right.
And then you want to open the windows, but you don't want to open them and, insult them. So you just say, it's really hot in here. You're gagging, you can't breathe, turning blue. Oh.
Yeah, it's like they marinate in it,
Also, that Brill Cream, that wasn't that was just a shaving thing.
No, that was hair. Yeah.
That was hair.
It was like a white cream.
Because that had all those the signs on the highways.
No, you're thinking that's
Bermashave.
Bermashave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're thinking of that.
A little different.
Yeah, you're all confused.
We know that.
Too much research.
Yeah, Brill Cream. They were little cartoon characters. Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. Brill Cream.
Yeah.
How do I remember that stuff?
Yeah.
I never used anything. On my hair my entire life, I have never put anything on it.
Now, does your brother have curly hair as well?
No, very straight hair.
Oh, yeah, because he had the crew cut.
Well, he had the butch.
The butch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had straight. He's got straight hair. I'm the only one who's got curly hair.
So did your mother or dad have curly
hair? My mother did.
Okay.
I think my dad had wavy hair, but my mom had curly hair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all right. Enough with my family genealogy.
We need to know these important things.
Okay, so next time we have more to do with them with Plaza.
Part three.
All right, part three is coming up. Carol G. Inforte, Jim Messier. I can't wait till you guys go back to the Golden Rondell.
We are going to go back to the Living Faith Church in August.
Okay.
And that's open, and that holds about 300 people.
All right, that's good. That'll do.
Yeah, and we're
park
adding.
Pool. Yeah.
But we're adding going to the beach.
North Beach.
A new segment.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. The beach party.
Oh, beach party segment. Frankie and Annette stuff going on there.
That's us. What we're
going
to have.
Frankie and Annette. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in.
We really appreciate it.
Good luck with your open. Jim's got an open house.
Saturday, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the Racine Business Center,
which is the Von Schrader building.
Von Schrader building.
Sounds like some kind of, like.
Yeah.
Like, with the Baron.
Yeah.
Von Schrader. And good luck with that this weekend.
You,
and you guys will be in next month, and we'll do blah, blah, blah.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah, thank you, guys. All right, 8 o'clock on the nose. Let's check news at CBS.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Ukrainian capital. Russian airstrikes hit residential areas overnight in an hours-long barrage, killing at least 8 people and prompting President Zelensky to cut short an official visit to South Africa to return home. It's Russia's deadliest assault on Kyiv since last July. The BBC's John Donison is in one of the neighborhoods that was hit.